But good parenting is a journey of consistently teaching children God's word, disciplining them in love, and loving them with unconditional grace-filled love.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, it has been said that some things are easier said than done. Now, I know if you were here last week and you heard that message on Thanksgiving when I started off by saying some things are easier said than done, this is not a repeat. This is not the same message, but rather I'm simply applying this concept of some things being easier said than done in a new way. You know, before we said certain things like dieting and exercise, always being on time, or giving thanks in that case, giving thanks in all circumstances is something that is easier said than done. But I want us to consider something else here today that admittedly is easier said than done. And so, on this Child Dedication Sunday, we want to consider this easier and said than done challenge, which is to be a good parent. Much easier said than done, isn't it? Be a good parent. You know, but this is one of the most important tasks in all of life. And unfortunately, as has been said, babies don't all come with instruction manuals, do they? You know, I've spent a good bit of time in hospitals visiting with people there, and I've looked for it everywhere. You know, they won't let you up into the maternity ward these days, I've found. But I've looked everywhere else, and I have not found that instruction manual for babies. They don't give you one of those. But I think, though, that even if they did, I have a feeling that things wouldn't always proceed according to the manual. Who thinks that's probably correct? You know, even if we did have the manual, things probably wouldn't always go according to the manual, though, would they? But I want you to know that for me here this morning, though, as well, I also personally am facing something else that is easier said than done this morning, which is this, to preach a sermon on parenting when you're not a parent. So I'm going to be doing that here this morning, and we'll see how it goes. But I promise you that we are all going to get through this together. And while I don't have years of rich personal experience and lots of amusing anecdotes to share with you, I do have something rich, though, to share with you, and that is the truth and the wisdom of God's Word. And I can also point you to some good human sources of wisdom and experience as well. So for our message here today, I'm asking, so you want to be a good parent? And we're going to be looking briefly at three scripture passages in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, Proverbs 13, 24, and John 13, verses 34 through 35. And here is the message that I want us to take away from it here today, and that is this, that good parenting is a journey, not to be confused with the baby journey that we dedicated here this morning, but good parenting is a journey of consistently teaching children God's word, disciplining them in love, and loving them with unconditional grace-filled love. Now, again, that is easier said than done, isn't it? But this is the truth of God's word for us here this morning. Good parenting, it's a journey, it's an adventure, but it's a process of consistently teaching God's word, disciplining them in love, and loving them with unconditional grace-filled love. What I want us to do then in this message here today is I want to give us three biblical principles of good parenting. Said we're going to look briefly at several scripture passages that will yield these three key biblical principles of good parenting. And by the way, I want you to know, if you're out there and you're thinking, you know what, I'm not a parent, or maybe you are a parent, but your kids are already grown, that's not a reason for you to tune out here today. Because whether you are a parent or not, or your kids are already grown, don't tune out, because I want you to know that there is something in this message for all of us here today. There's an important word for all of us in this message here today then. So let's look at our first scripture passage. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Where here we are told this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And so the first principle then that I want us to see and take away from this passage here is that good parents, godly parents, consistently teach God's word. You know, that verse 4 there, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, where it says there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That's this passage, that verse in particular, but this passage has come to be called the Shema. Hebrew word Shema means hear. Hear, O Israel. Listen, pay attention. So when they're told to listen, pay attention, this is something that is very important for them to know. So listen up, pay attention. Hear, hear, O Israel. Hear, O church. Hear, O Wonder Lake Bible Church. Everyone here today, hear this, what? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So this has become a confession of faith among many Jewish people, which is recited twice daily by some of the devout. And this confession of faith is this. Hear this, what? The Lord our God, He is one. What does this mean? Well, first of all, whenever you see that word Lord in the scriptures and you see it in all capital letters in your Bible there, that is the translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is God's personal name. You know, we refer to God, the Lord, the Adonai, the Almighty. There are many different words for God that are found in the scriptures. But there is one word and only one word which is used to refer to His personal name. You know, all of us here have a personal name. We dedicated these children here today by name, by personal name. And did you know that God has a personal name? It isn't His name is not God or even the Lord, Adonai. His name in Scripture is Yahweh, His personal name, like my name is Dan, or your name is Jake, or your name is, actually we've got another Dan right there. I like that name Dan. Very, very ruggedly handsome men usually have that name Dan, don't they? So something went wrong in my case, I'm not sure what it was, but usually that's the case then. So, but that is a personal name for God. Yahweh. And it means something too. The name Yahweh in the scripture means I am. And it refers to how God is the eternal God, sovereign Lord of the universe. I am that I am. That's how God introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush. He says, "Who are you? What is your name that I may say? Who sent me?" And it said, "I am Yahweh." That is that God is the great, eternal, sovereign Lord. God has always been. He always is, always will be. In fact, He is outside of time. He has created time, the universe, everything that exists. He created by His mighty power because He is the great, eternal, sovereign Lord of the universe. So He is the Lord, and the Lord is one. That is, there is no other God. There is only one God, no other gods, only one God, and He has a name, Yahweh. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And then we're told then, you shall love Yahweh, the Lord your God, with all of your heart with all of your soul, with all of your might. This is a way of saying that what? From the depth of our being, that all that we have, all that we are, from our depth of the wholeness of our being, we should love Yahweh. That He comes first in all things. Do you know the Scripture says that there is this greatest commandment, which is, Jesus was once asked, what is the greatest commandment? What is the most important commandment?
Love one another.
That was the second one. What was the first one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And then the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So we are to love the Lord our God with all of our being. And did you know that when we love God with all of our being, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, that we are going to fulfill all of the word of God, all of the commandments of God then. Because if we love God with all of our being, as if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're not going to lie, we're not going to steal, we're not going to cheat, we're not going to murder, we're not going to be unfaithful in our marriage vows. All of these things then come about as we love the Lord our God. So these words then, we're told, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. As I said, remember I said, you don't have to be a parent here today, here or listening online here. This is for all of us. The Lord our God, He is God, and He alone is God. And this is the first and the greatest commandment for all of us, to love God with all of our being. Now for the parents then, we're told then, you shall teach them, Lord. You shall teach them diligently the words of God. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. In other words, what? All the time. It refers then to being diligent, being consistent, and a constancy. Diligence, consistency, and constancy. Teaching our children the Word of God. You know, when we teach our children the Word of God, that doesn't mean like just opening up a Bible and sitting down with them and instructing them in it. It is that. That's part of it. But it is more than just the words of our mouths and what we say. It is, what do you think is even more important than what we say in teaching others? It's what? Our actions, what we do, right? And so we teach our children the Word of God, not simply with the words of our mouths, but also by the actions of our lives, by living it out, our example before them. And so the best and the most important thing that you as parents can do for your children, that all parents can do for their children, is to teach them the Word of God by word, but also, even more important than our words, our actions, our example. That shows them God's word and the truth of God's word. Teach by word and life example. You know, we see an example of this in the scriptures of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. We're there now. Paul was a very good teacher. His words, whether they were spoken words in the presence of people or whether they were written words as he wrote these letters to people there. But he says something interesting that I think that we can glean from this. He talks about the importance then of example and teaching by example and not just our words. We're in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, as he's completing this letter of joy to the believers in the church of Philippi. One of the final things he says is this. He says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So he encourages them, you know, you have learned from me. You have heard from me, but you have also, these things that you have seen in me, that they saw how he lived his life. They saw his example. And as what's that old expression, that actions are more powerful than words, aren't they, right? The power of example, the power of our actions. Paul says, you have seen all the things you've heard all these things I've said, but you've also seen it in me. But notice what he says here. If you do these things, then practice these things. It's not enough just to hear them or know them in our heads. We've got to put them into practice. And when we do that, what's the promise there? And the God of peace will be with you. You know, there's a lot of people that are looking for peace these days that don't have peace. You know, this is a really challenging time right now, isn't it? For us as a nation and the world. You know, it's been said, and I can personally testify to the truth of this. I have to tell you, with the challenges of the COVID era, besides the physical challenges of the physical illness that COVID brings, and I know that there are some of us here who deal with this on a daily basis through their jobs, and it's terrible, you know, and a very stressful thing. And we pray for them, we pray for you, and we pray for them who are doing that hard work. But did you know, besides that, though, that there's some other effects of COVID on the population besides people who are physically ill with the disease? And that is what it's doing to people's minds and their hearts and their spirits through all of this. Because I've seen it here in Wonder Lake. Maybe you've heard this on the news, but I've seen it here in Wonder Lake of the dramatic, dramatic increase in drug overdoses, in suicidal people, in domestic abuse. All of these things that are happening because of what COVID is doing, not just to people's bodies, but what it's doing to our hearts, and our minds, and our spirits as well. And so that's why I think we especially then need this counsel from God's Word about how we can have peace in this. And one of the ways that we can have peace then, an important way to have peace, is when we put into practice the Word of God and the promises of God in our lives. So what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a great promise for all of us, parents and non-parents alike. What a great promise there for us then. So the point then of all of this is to say then, is that the Word of God, parents, is something that is to be constantly thought about, constantly put into practice, and taught then to your children by word, yes, but also by example, how you live your life. Another key principle I want us to see here is found in Proverbs 13, verse 24. You know, the book of Proverbs is a very practical book of instruction in wisdom. How can we live a life that is a good life, a successful life, that has the favor, the approval, the blessing of God on it? And the book of Proverbs gives us some very good instruction in those things there. And one of the issues that Proverbs deals with often here, I've just chosen one verse here, but it's a consistent theme throughout the Proverbs, and that is the importance of discipline. Discipline for all, but especially discipline of children by parents. And so you see in Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. By sparing the rod, that means withholding discipline, refusing to discipline your child. Scripture goes so far as to say that if you don't discipline your child, it's as if you hate your child. You might think, well, that seems kind of strange, you know, because some parents, and I will admit, I'm kind of an old softy. I have kind of a soft heart, okay? And I don't like then sometimes to have to say or do things that might be kind of difficult or painful to say to someone, but it's necessary to do it. But if we don't do those things, we're not doing that person any favors, are we? And so parents, you're not doing your children any favors by not disciplining them. So it says, whoever spares the rod, that is whoever refuses to discipline, it's as if you hate your child. But the one who loves the child is diligent then to discipline. So good parents then consistently teach God's word, but they also then discipline in love. Good parents discipline in love. Now that key phrase there, in love, right? Because I'm sure some of us have seen, maybe we've even some of it, unfortunately, we've experienced it when we were kids growing up. There is a discipline that is not in love, that can be very harsh and overbearing. And Scripture warns against that. In Ephesians, it tells parents there, don't exasperate your children with harsh discipline. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about harsh discipline. We're talking about loving discipline. Firm, but loving discipline. And that a good parent disciplines that child in love and because they love their children. So when we discipline, usually that word discipline, it literally means to teach. Like a disciple of Jesus is a student or a learner of Jesus. So discipline, to disciple, means to teach someone. So discipline teaches us. Discipline teaches us what? How to lead a productive, successful life that is well-pleasing to God. So parents, that's your task then, is to discipline your children, to teach them through the process of discipline how they can lead productive, successful lives that are well-pleasing to God. But the truth is, we don't always like discipline, do we? But yet we need it. How many of us really enjoy being disciplined, having to face difficulties or hardships because of our actions of being taught through that? Nobody likes that, right? But we need it. And in fact, the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 12 speaks of how God, the Heavenly Father, disciplines us, His children, and it is for our good. It says in Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 11, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. And here's the key. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So discipline is not pleasant. Loving parents, I'm sure, don't enjoy the process of discipline, but what we're doing is, what you're doing, is you're teaching your child then how to lead a productive and successful life that is well-pleasing to God. If we spoil our children, they won't learn that. Now, I do have to say, how many of you are pet owners here? Do we have some pet owners here? Okay. I just unfortunately very recently had to say goodbye to my beloved pet. But he may have been the most spoiled pet on the planet. It was my cat, Bentley. He was probably the most spoiled cat on the planet there, without a doubt. Cindy maybe be able to give me a run for my money on spoiling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you probably could. But probably 1A and 1B here on spoiling parent or spoiling pets, right? But you know what? It's one thing to spoil a pet, and probably many of us have done that. And we do that. And you know what? There aren't too many serious ramifications, except for me, ruined furniture and ruined walls. But that's another matter. I'm not going to go into all of that here right now. But when we spoil children, that's not a good thing, is it? Now, I know that soft heart wants to do that. But when you spoil a child and they don't learn discipline, that never ends well for that child. Children need discipline. And believe it or not, so I'm told, all the experts say, children want discipline. Now, they may not think that's what they want, but they do. And they need it, right? Last principle then is this one. It comes from John 13, verse 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So here Jesus is speaking to his disciples and challenging them to a new level of love. Love like he loves. And so I want us to see here then is that good parents then consistently teach God's word. Good parents discipline in love. But also good parents then love with unconditional, grace-filled love. Now, why did Jesus say, a new commandment I give to you? Didn't we just earlier, didn't we see here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and they said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And so How is this a new commandment to love God and to love one another? There's nothing new about the commandment to love, but what is new about this is that little phrase Jesus inserts in there when he says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. That's upping it. That's ramping it up. Turning it up to 11. Some of you might catch that reference there. So when we turn it up like that, then, it's what unconditional, sacrificial love filled with grace. That's the love of Jesus. Ultimate, unconditional, sacrificial, filled with grace. So believers are to love one another in that way. But parents, we are to love our children in that way. Unconditional, sacrificial, filled with grace. Now that's one of those things right there that is easier said than done, isn't it? And it's a journey. It's a process. It's an adventure. But that is the calling. When we learn to love like that, oh, the difference that that can make in our lives, but most importantly, than what in the lives of those who are the objects of that love. So parents, love your children this way. Good parents, consistently teach God's word, discipline in love, and love with unconditional, grace-filled love. I want to share some wisdom from a human parent by the name of Tim Kimmel. He has written a really good book that is called Grace-Based Parenting, and I would highly recommend that to you. So it's Grace-Based Parenting by Dr. Tim Kimmel, and there's lots of great wisdom in there for you as parents with that. But here's just a few things I wanted to share from this book that I think would be important for us. He talks first off about some misguided parenting styles. That sometimes with the best of intention, you know, we're trying to raise our kids, we're trying to raise them well, but we may be following the wrong map. And the map, some of these wrong maps we may be following, misguided styles, would be one to be a fear-based parenting. This is the parent who is scared of everyone and scared of everything in the world. And so they're trying to protect their, now they want to protect their children, but they're so scared of everyone and everything in the world, and they're protecting their children so much so that it becomes an unhealthy thing. And what happens then is the kids become afraid, or oftentimes what? They then rebel. They rebel against that. They rebel against God and His Word and their parents, because they have been suffocated, if you will, with not protection, but out of fear. So we don't want to be fear-based parents. Another thing he talks about is what he calls evangelical behavior modification parenting. And this is this idea that it is a focus on the child's behavior rather than what's inside them in their hearts. Making sure they're behaving, doing the right things, rather than addressing the child's heart and the child's heartfelt needs there. Another thing is called image control parenting. Probably seen this, where parents are more concerned about how they look to others. They want to look like the perfect family, when behind closed doors, it's another reality then. Another one is called high control parenting. I probably don't need to explain that one, do I? High control parents. The other is he calls herd mentality parents. This is this idea of, well, everyone else is doing it, or it's the popular thing. You might call it, for those of you who've attended here for a little while, the parental zeitgeist, right? Well, this is what the world says, or everybody says, is this is how to be a good parent. The parental zeitgeist. Don't join that. Don't join the herd mentality then. And then the last one he calls the duct tape parents. Duct tape. How many of you, like me, believe that if you have a screwdriver, a hammer, and a duct tape, you're good to go? You've got all the tools you'll ever need, right? So, well, maybe not all of them, but a hammer, a screwdriver, and a duct tape can solve a lot of problems. Or some would say, in my case, it just creates more problems for people who actually know what they're doing to come by later and actually fix the problem correctly, right? So anyway, well, duct tape parenting is this idea of just patching up the problems that come up, putting duct tape on things instead of actually dealing with the issues there, that we don't want to be parents like that. So those are some misguided parenting styles. He suggests instead grace-based parenting, which is that we parent our kids. Here's the heart of it. Parent our kids the way the Heavenly Father parents us. And how is that? Well, it's with unconditional love, discipline, and grace. Where have we heard that before? Unconditional love, discipline, grace. Modeling God's love and grace to them. Easier said than done, I know, isn't it? But it is the goal, and it is a journey, and it is an adventure. But that's grace-based parenting, is parenting them the way God parents us. And he talks about how children have three driving inner needs: a need for security, a need for significance, and a need for strength. And that we can meet, as parents, we can help meet those needs for our kids. Those needs for security, for significance, and strength by giving them these three valuable gifts then. The gifts of love, of purpose, and hope. Instill love, purpose, and hope in your children. And you're meeting three of those driving inner needs that all children have. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this message here today? Well, I want to remind us where we started with this, that good parenting is a journey. It's a journey of consistently teaching God's word, teaching children God's word, disciplining them in love, and loving them with unconditional, grace-filled love. So I'll ask then, Do you endeavor to consistently teach God's word by mouth and example? You know, it's not enough just to say what God's word says. That's good. They need to hear that. But even more important than hearing what it says, it's what? Seeing it lived out in us, in our lives. And did you know that doesn't mean you have to be perfect, because you're not and I'm not. None of us are. But even in our imperfection, we teach our children, don't we? We teach our children by how we deal with our imperfection and how we admit our mistakes, our sin, confess that, ask forgiveness. Those are very valuable lessons that we teach, that children need to see that in us then as well, that we're not perfect, but how do we deal with that? Do we deal honestly with that? Do we admit when we're wrong? Do we seek forgiveness when we need that? Do we extend forgiveness to others? Children need to see that in us. They need to see that we are teaching God's word, not just by what we say, but by example, how we live. Second, then, do you discipline in love? You know, it's one thing to spoil a pet. Don't spoil a child. You're not doing any favors then to that child. But do you discipline? But don't discipline harshly. Discipline in love. And then finally, then, do you love with, like, the love of Jesus? Do you love with unconditional, grace-filled love, sacrificial love? Now, I know that this is a great challenge, easier said than done. But when we are growing in these things, we are giving our children the best gift that they can have: being grace-filled parents. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we do have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, all of us, whether we are parents or not, need to hear this word here today, that you, Lord, you, Yahweh, are God. You alone are God. And that you, Lord, are worthy of our love, to love you with all of our being. That we must teach others by word and example your word and your truth. God, I pray for these parents whose children we have dedicated here today, and for all of the parents in our midst here today, here, Lord, that you would give us strength and grace as we continue on, as we embark on, or as we continue on this journey of growth in teaching your word, in disciplining in love, and by loving with unconditional, grace-filled love. Lord, help us to do that. Forgive us for when we slip and fall, and help us, Lord, to be good examples then to our children and to all people. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. You are a great God, and you are a faithful God, and we thank you, Lord, that we can entrust ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.